Com.
Good morning. If you're on the Matthews Bridge going toward Arlington from downtown, there has been a crash on the bridge. A lot of cars are taking the Hart Bridge instead. At 95 South, just before Bay Street, apparently something fell off of a car. It looks like a bumper as we look on traffic cams. Cars are having to avoid that. 10 East at Lane Avenue, there's been a wreck. We're seeing lots of backup there on the traffic cams. There's a 30% chance of thunderstorms today, otherwise hot. The high 96, this evening's low 78. Right now it's 79 at WBOB. And here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The U.S. will delay some tariffs on China until December. The $5 billion President Trump will spend on the border wall, Democrats say, instead should be spent on gun violence prevention programs. And with the beginning of the school year, Florida schools are now required to teach mental and emotional health education to middle and high school students.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600. 831-0600 or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
The merits of the issue, and I've got some statistics here. First of all, let's talk about the effectiveness of physical barriers. When they were put up in the Yuma, Arizona sector, arrests for illegal crossings fell 94% in 3 years, from 138,000 to 8,000. When barriers went up in San Diego, arrests fell 80% in 7 years, from over 500,000 to 100,000.
Fox News Sunday host Chris Wallace about barriers, border walls, whatever you want to call them, being erected. And many people say, well, there's no walls being built. But yet, according to Customs and Border Patrol agents, there are. I'll get to the clip in a moment. 4 minutes after 8 a.m., thank you so much for tuning in, Ed Dean. Roger Henderson, this is Talk Radio, WBOB. Again, the email address, ed at WBOB.com.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says President Trump should take the $5 billion he wants for a border wall and spend it on initiatives to address gun violence and what Schumer calls violent white supremacist extremism. House Democrats, meantime, are calling on Republicans in the Senate to approve a bill concerning background checks for gun purchases.
That's Brett Baer. Well, now he goes a little bit further that Chuck Schumer and the rest of these guys are saying that the $5 billion that President Trump's gotten due to a court process by the U.S. Supreme Court, that $5 billion instead should be spent on going after white supremacists. In English, that means all you Trump supporters out there, okay? Get the memo. So anyway, so that's what's taking place. But where are we right now with the new border barriers? Fox News' William Lajeunesse.
57 miles of new border barrier, 14 miles completed just last week, stretching from the Pacific Ocean east, according to CBP, and there is more to come. Acting Commissioner Mark Morgan credits the program that forces migrants to wait in Mexico while the courts process their asylum claim. But because of shelter overcrowding, Mexico is busing some migrants far from the border, others self-deport.
According to Lajeunesse, Mexico's even cracking down on illegal aliens
and out of money. Since President Trump's tariff threat, Mexico is deporting record numbers of migrants, 100,000 this year. So apprehensions are down 43%, but just like those near historic lows following the president's election, the constant here is change. Cartels adjust. Mexico remains a wild card. Guatemala has yet to ratify that safe third country agreement. Agents say they welcome congressional help, but enforcement will always be a work in progress.
Presidential contenders are out again this week. They're not happy the way the Supreme Court justices are set because it's technically a 5-4. In the favor of President Trump. Of course, the presidential contenders say that enough is not being done to prevent gun violence, too much of attack, going after women's reproductive health, LGBT, climate change. We've got to do something. So now they're saying, again, coming out this week, that we need to redo the court, maybe add more members or switch members in or out. Fox News' David Spunt.
With 9, there is currently a 5-4 conservative majority. Changing the overall number would make a significant impact. Once again, bringing the nonpartisan Supreme Court into the phrase of a polarizing election. Fast forward to the 2020 race for the White House, and now there are calls for as many as 15. Then there's Bernie Sanders, who wants something in the middle.
I do not believe in packing the court, but I do believe that constitutionally we have the power to rotate judges to other courts.
Now, of course, as you know, the Supreme Court isn't happy with this. I wonder, I wonder if they'll try to do that. I wonder if they would be on the same side if it was 5-4 leaning from the left.
You know what? I'm not quite sure how that would end up panning out, but obviously their whole motive behind this is they don't like the conservative leaning on the courts right now.
And that brings in new blood into the Supreme Court.
In order to change the number of justices on the Supreme Court, both the House and Senate would need to send a bill to President Trump for his signature. No indication that would happen on his watch.
President Trump was asked about that very issue. He says, see if you catch this. It ain't going to happen for the next 6 years.
2020 election. There's a growing number of Democratic candidates who have endorsed the idea of adding seats to the Supreme Court. Is that an idea that you would entertain in the remainder of your term or possible next term, or is that not something that you agree with?
No, I wouldn't entertain that. The only reason is that they're doing that is they want to try and catch up. So if they can't catch up through the ballot box by winning an election, they want to try doing it in a different way. Now, we would have no interest in that whatsoever. It'll never happen. It won't happen. I guarantee you, it won't happen for 6 years.
It won't happen for 6 years. That means that based on if he gets reelected or not. Here's another funny clip. The president was on the campaign stump. Listen to what he said about the media. This is actually entertaining.
Can you imagine if I got a fair press? I mean, we're leading without it. Can you imagine if these people treated me fairly? The election would be over. Have they ever called off an election before? Just said, look, just let's go. Go on. 4 more years. Yeah. And then you want to really drive them crazy? Go to #3rd term, #4th term. You'll drive them totally crazy.
831-0600-904-831-0600. Fox Business News host Lou Dobbs says, you know what? It's possibly the president could lose his base. Dobb indicates that he doesn't think the president, in some cases, is moving quick enough when it comes to the border wall and other expectations.
His base is expecting a wall, expecting illegal immigration to be stopped. Instead, immigration year over year is rising significantly. We've got four times the number of families being apprehended at the border. This is not going well, and I absolutely believe this is a historic president, that this man is doing things that were unimaginable even 10 years ago, but which he is achieving. But my God, November 2020 is nearing at an alarming rate. If this president forgets who his base is, right, and listen to some of these folks advising him on illegal immigration, the wall, and gun control. Well, bases come and bases go.
831-0600-904-831-0600. Before I get to the calls, former councilman now is on the Charter Review, businessman Matt Schellenberg. Is the president moving as quick as he can, or is he not moving quick enough, especially on the ideas when it comes to the border wall?
I think that he has a message, and I think that he sees that the Congress is not acting as quickly as it. I think he actually is doing the best he can right now, and as indicated, he is building the wall. I actually have seen the wall, and it's just a matter of getting the money from Congress, and I think people are going to blame Congress going forward.
I'm telling you, it would be the greatest area to raise taxes. It'd be a tourist attraction, trying to keep the wall the way it is and watching hire more Border Patrol, watching people try to jump over the fence and watch them being caught.
I don't think it's jumping over the fence. I think the biggest concern people have is the actual steel beams that go down. They go down 8 feet, and they're thinking that you're going to build tunnels. And how are you going to stop that? Because the tunnels go miles.
So here's a question. Before we get to the calls at 831-0600, give me, for the Trump supporters out there, do you believe the president is moving quick enough on immigration, or is he not when it comes to the issue of a wall? Tell me an area do you think that the president is not addressing quick enough, or he's not addressing at all? And is there a issue that if you're a Trump supporter, you would think twice if the president went down a certain path that you don't agree with, that you wouldn't vote for him coming up in the 2020 election? 831-0600-904-831-0600.
Former school board member Jason Fisher is now a state representative. He plans to introduce a J bill that would change the board to an appointed body instead of an elected membership. School board members talked about that tonight. They said that they plan to campaign against that idea when the Duval delegation meets at the end of October.
But most likely, it's not going to go anywhere. State Representative Court Byrd, among other Republicans, is against this provision. Even Mayor Lindy Curry was asked about this. News for Jack's Kent Justice.
Mayor Curry has gotten involved in the school's issue tonight. Curry wants to push for an elected superintendent as well as an elected board chairman. And while board members seem surprised by the mayor's suggestion today, he says his plan is about accountability.
The mayor says that he doesn't, well, he didn't say technically, but technically he doesn't agree with Jason Fisher. Mm-hmm. He says the school board should be elected, but he throws a little wrench into this. Listen to who he says should not be appointed, instead should be elected.
The school board would exist how it does now. The members would be elected by their constituents. What you would change is you would have a board chair that's elected by the people of Jacksonville, elected at large by the entire county, and you'd have a superintendent that's elected by the entire county. And again, I would suggest that this decision be made by the people themselves. Let's put it on a ballot at some point and ask the people of Jacksonville, would you like to see your superintendent elected and would you like to see your board chair elected?
Okay, first off, I think the majority of people would agree it's a stupid idea to take the rights away. That's been a tradition. You go down the road, you vote for the school board member because they make policy when it comes to your children's education, all right, not appointed. But having said that, I understand the pros and cons. I will tell you, I see both sides. Should a school superintendent, by the way, Dr. Diana Green is going to be live in the studios tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Should the school superintendent, should in your district, your county, wherever you're listening to this morning show, should that individual be appointed or elected? What do you say?
Well, I think the mayor is doing a rope-a-dope. He clearly is, Jason Fisher is, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm pretty sure Jason Fisher did this because the mayor told him to do it. Second of all, you don't necessarily want an elected superintendent because you can have a policy, but the superintendent, if elected, you can't get rid of him if he's not if they are not implementing the policy of the 7-member board members. So I think this is a rope-a-dope. I think mayor is just throwing things out. He clearly knows that Jax USA has done a poll on this appointed versus elected, and his pollster, it's everybody's pollster, it's Tim Baker, and basically it's come back and says 80% of the people say no, they want to have an elected school board. So he's throwing out superintendent to sort of rope-a-dope and say, I made an error, and now we're going to see, let's go ahead and let transparency occur.
But why elect the school board chairwoman? I think that just gets pointed by the board. That's just kind of a moot point.
Well, the other thing that has been discussed in the past is go ahead and elect the 7 and also have actually an 8th. And that person would be an at-large member of the school board.
Well, you got to have one as an officer. Right. Can't be even.
Well, no, not really, because that 8th would not only have a vote, but if it is a super voter and it's a 4-4, she would have that at large would have the ultimate vote. Understanding.
Right. 904-831-0600. Should your school board be elected or appointed? Number two, what about a school superintendent? Should that, I do see the pros and cons of one being elected and the other one being appointed, Raj.
You know what, I see more cons than pros, to be frank with you, because I think the reason why you want to have a superintendent appointed by the board is that you've got the group there who that superintendent is accountable to. If they're elected directly by the people, they don't have to answer to the school board. They can do whatever they want. The school board is basically there for decoration, all things equal. I think if truth be told, I think the problem people have right now is we don't know what party affiliation the school board members have.
You want a nonpartisan.
Why would you want a nonpartisan?
Because I think that everybody gets the vote. If everybody's just voting for a Republican or a Democrat, you want a board that can work together, and everybody says it's always about the kids.
Why not have a primary vote? Republicans running against Republicans like we do in a normal race, and then the Democrats, and then both of them can face off in the general election.
Don't you want the best people? Because a lot of times people will vote against who you don't want versus who you do want. And quite frankly, I just believe a nonpartisan will actually save the taxpayers money. And why not? It should be a non-political issue, Republican or Democrat.
How does it save them money?
Because you'd only have one election.
No, you have a runoff. You always have a runoff
potentially.
Right now.
Potentially, you could have a runoff.
All right. So is Schallenberg right? Matt Schallenberg correct? School superintendent should be appointed, not elected. And the school board races should be partisan and nonpartisan.
I'm just making a suggestion. I'm just saying that if you're looking at...
Are you doing a rope-a-dope?
I think that I'm just... I want the school board to be elected.
All right. Let's go to Doc. Totally different topic. Hey, Doc. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey. I agree with Roger on the school board attendant, but I actually called for the topic of yesterday about Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
There's something that no one is mentioning. We all talked about the different ear, but what attorney, knowing that his client is trying to commit suicide, what attorney would take their client off of suicide if that client is their piggy bank? Jeffrey Epstein is that attorney's piggy bank. Why would any attorney say, hey, I want to almost, you know, destroy my piggy bank? That it makes no sense for an attorney to take his piggy bank off of suicide watch.
Well, maybe the attorney found out that Epstein was going to take him off from becoming part of the piggy bank, and it was going to fire the attorney.
But lobby for me to get off suicide watch, and you're $10 million in my will out of my $500 million net worth.
Or maybe the heirs to the fortune.
I'm not saying that happened. I'm just speculating what others have thought.
I mean, is it really an issue? But I know what you're saying. I know what you mean.
No, I'm just saying the ear is completely different. Everybody knows that there's a complete the ear interpret of the ear. It's a complete different guy. I think the whole thing is staged. It's fake. That's a homeless guy body there.
Oh boy, really?
Yeah, look at the ear. You can't
look at the ear. I wouldn't know what his ear looked like before he committed suicide.
There were some online supposed autopsy photos, and the ear and the ear looked different.
How would they get a hold of those autopsy?
That's what I'm saying. That was probably some scandalous kind of
thing. Hey, Doc, I like you. Can I ask you a question? Are you going to be joining that big event in Area 51 coming out here real soon?
No. That's a negative. Thank you.
I love Doc.
831-0600 Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're on the Matthews Bridge going into Arlington from the downtown area, there has been an accident. We're seeing lots of backup there. Cars are now taking the Matthews or one of the other bridges. I'm sorry, the Hart Bridge or one of the other bridges instead. If you are at I-295 going north at Wilson Boulevard, you'll see backup. And I-10, cars are having to start to hit the brakes beginning at Lane, and it's heavy down to I-95.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click Plumber in Jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7. Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
A 1 in 3 chance of thunderstorms rolling in by the afternoon. Our high will be 96, heat index 105. That's the feels-like temperature today. Partly cloudy this evening, a 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight, and a low of 78. Right now, 79 at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Presidential Democrats are calling for major overhaul of the U.S. Supreme Court. The Jacksonville mayor says school board should be elected and says the superintendent position should be elected as well. And despite Amazon being the online giant, a new report says some retailers are building more stores to compete with the company.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600. 831-0600 or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB. WBOB.
21 minutes after 8 a.m. Thanks so much for tuning in. Ed Dean right here on Talk Radio WBOB. First week back in school for many of those here in the state of Florida. Well, guess what also now is going to have to be required and mandated. That's right. If you have a son or daughter attending a public school and they're in the grades between 6th and 12th grade, the Florida State Department of the Board of Education now requires your son or daughter that they must go through a five-hour course to detect and learn about mental health education. Here's some of the media here in Florida bring this issue up.
Will now be required to spend at least 5 hours on mental health instruction for students beginning in sixth grade. The new mandate was approved by the State Board of Education today. Students will be required to take courses aimed at helping identify the signs and symptoms of mental illness. First Lady Casey DeSantis praised the announcement, saying mental health is another important step forward in supporting our families.
Proponents of this say that the schools are the perfect place to identify what behavioral health is and provides a level of education. And kids need to learn it. But it was kind of vague when you listen and look at some of these reports here about what would be included. Now, the teaching will include skills for good mental health. They want you to look at depression, suicide prevention, and impacts of substance abuse. Many people email me this morning go, well, what about this and what about that issue? We'll get to some of those here in just a little bit. They say that the kids, again, this is a mandate now. If your son or daughter goes to a public school and they're between the ages of that ages, but the grades of 6th to 12th grade, they will be mandated to identify the signs of mental health illness out there. They say that this needs to be brought up to understand the signs and symptoms. We've taken a lot of calls to this, man. A lot of people weigh against it. I understand both sides. What are the pros and cons of this?
Well, it's interesting you have both sides. Explain to me how an 11-year-old would actually know what's going on in that world. And as well as that going into 12th grade, you know, that whole spectrum.
Well, that's the whole point. They don't understand, so the school says we need to teach them.
No. Even if you, hell, you can teach a child almost anything, but it's the remembering. And what are they going to do then? I understand that we have a minor problem in mental health that people killing. But this is a small, incredibly small issue, and we're telling kids how to identify it when. And there's articles by psychiatrists and psychologists that they can't do a very good job.
So
what's going to happen?
Is it a mixture of both bags?
I believe it's a mixture of both bags, but I do believe it's probably a good idea overall, and here's the reason why. If a kid is, you know, self-diagnosed and themselves, or at least seeing some of the symptoms, they're depressed, they're unhappy, they cry unexpectedly for no reason throughout the day, most days of the week, that could end up leading them towards having suicidal thoughts, and maybe they can get help saying, oh, you know, I learned this in mental health class, maybe I need to get some help.
Roger, go ahead.
Well, by the way, you mentioned suicide. We have more suicides now, historically, when we ever have.
Well, so that's the reason why I've got to detect it.
But wait a second. Is it mental health or these crazy world that we live in with game, video games that they see?
Well, whatever, you want to detect it. But here's the thing. I understand where Roger's coming from. I think it's a mixed bag. I don't have a problem from the parents and or the whether you need it mandated or not. I think it's just something to have a common sense approach. But have a discussion about the look for the signs of those that may be mentally disturbed. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem of teaching what to look for when it comes to peer pressure, substance abuse, whether or not somebody is unhappy. I don't have a problem with that. And what you do is you bring it up to the teacher out there. But my question I have to ask,
well, they may think it's normal. That's why we have to have this class.
Right. What's normal?
But that's the other point. What do you include with this?
They need to know this. If they're crying 3 days a week and they don't know why, if they are hearing voices and they don't understand why, they may think that's normal. They can go and get, oh yeah, I learned.
I hear voices.
Wait a second. If a child is crying 3 days a week, it's the teacher's responsibility to know what they
have. What if the student doesn't cry in class, but they do when they get home?
Because most students will actually talk. Okay, give them an opportunity.
They talk to the kids.
To talk to the kids. Maybe go home and tell the parent. That's the key.
Ideally, that would be the one. But you know, wouldn't it be good for the kid to know that could be a symptom that I may need to get some help?
I understand the issue, but I'm not sure if an 11-year-old or 12-year-old, 13-year-old going through all those changes in life that can identify what's going on.
Yeah.
This top education official says a new effort to address mental illness in the classroom is a lifesaver. Public school students will now be required to have at least 5 hours of mental health instruction beginning in the sixth grade. The new requirement will help kids identify symptoms of mental illness and teach them how to help others who may be struggling.
It sounds good, but do you have to have parental, I guess now if it's a state law, you don't have parental notification on that. So my question to you, 831-0600. A lot of people have called in about this morning, also the emails, 831-0600. Should your son or daughter from 6th grade to 12th grade, and the ages could vary, as you point out, 11 or 12 years old, should they be, it's a law, state law now, be mandated to go through a five-hour course through over the school year? Doesn't sound like a lot now, does it? But a five-year course, a five-hour course to understand mental illness and the signs of it. But then again, what if some people have been emailing, what if you're a science, you deny science, climate change? What if even a parent emailed me, goes, well, what if somebody wants to have a transition with a gender? And is that individual now going to be called somebody who discriminated because they narked on somebody else? Because it is a little mentally and disturbing when you've got a daughter who's a daughter, next thing you know, at 12, 13 years old, wants to become a boy. I would sit those individuals down. My question is, what should be included if we're going to bring this issue up about mental illness, or to you as a parent out there or an observer, should this not be dictated at all by the local school district? Instead, should this be left for the home?
I think it should be left to the home, but you know, this goes back to I'm looking at you guys, and we're young at one time. Was this ever an issue when we were young? So what is it now that we have to look at it and deal with the mental health issue? We have cliques and things like this, and there's a lot of variables that go into sadness at a particular time for maybe a week or two. Maybe it's a grade. Maybe it's whatever. It's the pressures of life. But those are the things that kids need to deal with and to make them better. Life isn't like a utopia world. These are issues that every child has at one time or another has to overcome issues.
Here's some emails.
Teach the class, Matt. Man.
Yeah, here's some emails. Here's one from Webster. Matt, it's 2019, not 1959. Here's one from Barry. I think Roger's correct, Ed. I think you're trying to do a rope-a-dope on this one. No, I understand both sides. I'm just trying to ask, how do you limit it? Here's one from Terry. Ed, you mentioned the suicide prevention. What about if somebody's high coming in one day and they don't seem to be there? They're a little depressed. What about some of the medicine? Are we going to now report them as maybe there could be some mental illness involved?
Well, right now we're having this great debate about marijuana. Marijuana, you know, does mellow you out. The question is, long term, I had a friend of mine that went, a judge that went to a mental health conference up in D.C., and not one of them, 5,000, thought that marijuana is going to be long term good.
Here's one from Randy. What if the kid's a diabetic and his sugar level's down and he just feels a little bit depressed? So again, what is your view on this? Do we need to be having it's a state law here in Florida now, your local public schools will be mandated to teach 6th graders to 12th graders. They must learn about mental illness. They must subscribe and learn the symptoms of this. Good, bad, what do you mix in? What do you put into this jelly jar that should be talked about? 831-0600. I'd like to hear your view on this. 831-0600, Talk Radio WBOB.
Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Most of the Hong Kong protesters taking a break from violent demonstrations that shut down the airport for the past couple of days. Hong Kong's airport has now reopened. A staff shakeup at the federal jail in New York, where Jeffrey Epstein apparently took his own life. The warden of the Metropolitan Correctional Center is being reassigned. A couple of the guards have been suspended. We are well into the dog days of summer now. It's expected to be another very hot day across parts of the South today, from Texas all the way over into the Carolinas. Dangerously hot temperatures in some spots. On Wall Street this morning, stocks looking to open sharply lower later on. Right now, Dow futures are down about 388 points for a loss of about 1.5%. The S&P, 42 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning at I-95, going both north and south from between Butler Boulevard and US 1. We're seeing backup on the highway this morning. Butler Boulevard at 95. There's heavy traffic there as well. And at I-10 headed toward downtown, beginning at Lane Avenue. Cars are slowing down all the way down to 95. A 1 in 3 chance of thunderstorms today, a high of 96. The heat index feels like temperature 105 this evening, a low of 78. Right now it's 79 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The $5 billion the president wants to spend on the border wall, Democrats say instead should be spent on gun violence prevention programs. With the beginning of the school year, Florida schools are now required to teach mental and emotional health education to middle and high school students. And the U.S. will delay some tariffs on China until December.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
32 minutes after 8 a.m., your calls are coming up right now. So I would agree with Roger on some of this. Does it need to be taught? But is mental health illness, to identify the symptoms, 6th grade to 12th grade, people are emailing me going, these kids can't comprehend this. Why are you even trying to teach this? Should this be a mixture of having the parents there as well? A lot of you have been emailing me, Ed, this could be expanded and politics could get involved. I get all of that.
Yeah.
Before we get to the calls, I've had several emails here. Well, what happens if a son or a daughter comes into the class, they have a conversation, they feel a little depressed, and the kid asks them, hey, listen, I'm trying to understand because they taught me this in school to understand the symptoms. Do you have any guns in your household? And they might want to prevent that. What do you think about that? In fact, we had a couple Paco called up, and exactly, a lot of people brought this up this morning. Good thing or bad thing? Do we need to be teaching 6th graders to 12th graders to identify the symptoms of mental illness? I think it's good to bring this issue up, but to narrow the scope of what are the main causes of mental illness instead of expanding it out to 10, 11, 12 issues. If there are two or three or four of them out there that really cry for suicide, that's what you focus on. Yep. The rest, another day.
I think kids need to realize that, you know, when they hear reports and education about cutting themselves, or, you know, they're sad throughout the week and for no unexplained reason, they're hearing voices. These are things that maybe you need to bring to an adult's attention as opposed to keeping it to yourself.
Yeah, just turn the radio down. You won't hear more voices. Let's go to Andy. Hey, Andy, good morning.
Hi, Ed. I think that they're too young in middle school. I think high school would be more logical because middle schoolers are cliquey. They're just learning their social world. And I think that you're opening a door for them saying, oh, well, that kid is weird. That kid is autistic, so he must be crazy. Like, I think that you're opening a door for kids to judge each other when we're trying to shut that in society as a whole. And I think that we should be doing something, but it should be teaching them that Facebook these are the negative things that, you know, spending a lot of time on Facebook can do. These are some things you can do to feel better about yourself. I don't think we should say, look, here's some ways that you can tell when people are not like you, or people are messed up, or people are crazy, because I think little kids don't get that, and they won't know the difference, and I think it'll cause small children especially to be judgmental of each other as opposed to trying to prevent something. I think it'll make things worse.
You kind of bring up an interesting point. It's an open door. In other words, sometimes you knock at the door, and whether it opens or not, okay, it's determined whether or not somebody wants to let you in. You say, no, this could be an open door for judgmental reasons. I get that. I think that, but a school counselor would have to make a certain decision. I mean, autistic children, I get all that. I mean, I wouldn't mind going to one of these classes, Andy, and see what is being taught, to see what the scope is and how it's limited. Because there's also the other argument, Andy, that from other emails and calls that we've gotten this morning, that, again, if we can identify some of the mental illness, that, again, I understand what Roger's saying about Nicholas Cruz. The cops could have prevented that. But then again, you're going to get the proponents of this, Andy, that sits back and says, we might be able to stop a school tragedy if we can kind of catch it before it happens through this mental health illness program to be taught in our public schools.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good idea. I mean, in certain ways, and I think that they need to determine what is appropriate and what is not, especially for the younger kids. Like, you know, if you see your friend posting something on Facebook or you see a friend talking about guns or talking about, I mean, I think they have to be very careful about what they're saying, telling them to look for. And, yeah. You know, I think that it's just, they're very young and they don't have the analytical abilities of older children to say, okay, well, you know, this is something I need to report and this is not. So I think that, you know, I think that it's a good idea, but it has to be, you have to be very careful what you're telling, how you're telling them to look at other children.
All right, Andy, I appreciate the call. So this is where I'm getting at with this, Matt, before I get back to the calls here in a moment, is every program that's taught or there's a government program, we're always expanding it. And that's, to me, where it's worrisome. What do we expand it to next?
Well, right now, I think the school system here in Jacksonville has over 50 psychologists and psychiatrists that are out there that are there for teachers. And by the way, I acknowledge that it's some of these issues might happen not after school, but you can't turn on and off this issue if they really have a mental issue. The teacher should be aware of what's going on, and she should call up what we already have as psychiatrists and psychologists in the school system. We're paying them to go and talk to them. What are they doing if they're not out there in the schools and being listened to by the teachers?
Tomorrow morning, before I get back to the calls at 831-0600, Dr. Diana Green, the school superintendent out of Duval County, is going to be live here in the studios with us. I can't wait to have her. I'm looking forward to it.
What is your first question that you're going to ask her?
How are you this morning?
That'd be great.
How's your coffee?
Are you going to provide the coffee?
I talked to management. Yeah, they're going all out. They're going to, you know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested.
She's VIP. We're nobodies. So.
Well, I'm not saying I'm going to do this to Dr.
No.
I would do like rapid response. I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to mention a name, and you have to give me a one-word answer. So I'm thinking about doing that, like rapid fire.
No, I don't think. I think
the lightning
come
round.
Come on, she's gonna have fun.
I hope she does. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
You've met her.
I've met her several times.
Is she cool?
She's very nice. I just think that she came from Manatee County, and this is one of my concerns.
But her first teaching job was in Duval, so she's got some local street cred.
Yeah, but she was down in Manatee County. By the way, they passed the sales tax. They still haven't done anything because they're fighting over the money and where it should go.
Well, that's gonna happen.
By the way, all these things that everybody's bragging about, the success of the school. By the way, she just got here a year ago. All those things are attributed to Vitti, not to her.
We've said that on the show. Yeah. I think she's, unfortunately, in some cases, being blamed.
Right.
Let's go to Jason. Hey, Jason, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, go ahead. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to ask you a question, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. You can ask me in a minute, but I am looking forward to tomorrow's show.
Thank you.
3 points about these children diagnosing. So number one, as a manager and as an employer, I cannot watch one of my employees go out 3 nights every week, get absolutely blackout drunk, and say you're an alcoholic, because I am not a licensed psychologist or have the ability or the designation to diagnose those types of issues. I make myself liable for that, and there's a potential for this where somebody says, I think they're depressed, I think we should take away their guns, and now they become liable for that. The other two quick points are Salem witch trials. So, you know, people accusing people of things that can't be proven. And the last is, if you haven't read George Orwell's 1984, where people are arrested by the thought police for things that they think of doing but have not actually done, that'll be a very sobering reminder of where we are when it comes to history revisionism, as well as arresting people for things they may not have done.
Again, the thing on this is I don't have a problem of within a limited scope. I mean, let's just put it this way. I'll make it plain and simple. Give me the top reasons why we have heart disease. Diabetics, high sugar, high blood pressure. It's not 30 different things. Now, 30 different things can be included, but you look at the top three, right, Jason? You focus on those top three. If you look at the area of mental illness, there could be 10, 15 things, but you look at the top reasons why, the majority of them, and that's what you should approach. I don't have a problem with that. I like what you kind of alluded to is when they want to expand it, and you know in every government, I've covered this for years as a reporter, they always expand of what's going to take place and what could be, quote, mental illness.
I mean, and you look at, okay, well, we're going to not allow people who have, you know, mental illness or on any kind of medication for mental illness to have guns. okay, everybody seems fine with that, but incrementalism means that next are going to say, well, you know, anybody who drinks, we know people who get drunk, go in and shoot up people. And, of course, anybody who, you know, smokes legalized marijuana, you're not allowed to have guns either. And then it gets into, well, you have high blood pressure. You could become tense or you could have a heart attack and your finger locks, you know, seizes on the trigger and shoot somebody accidentally. Yeah. I mean, they can include anything once we open that one door because, as they say, if you give them an inch, they become a ruler.
Yeah. Jason, I got to go. Thanks for the call. I mean, what about, for example, who's a type 1 diabetic, if their sugar is low? I mean, I've seen it where you would honestly think that the individual's they're drunk, and they're not. They're just, their sugar level is low, and let's say they didn't get their insulin shot. I mean, I'm with you on this, folks. Trust me. I'm just bringing up several different way out left field. For example, if you don't think a certain government program should exist, oh, man, mental illness. That's what scares me, is how they may expand this.
Well, I think that there's some diseases that causes odd behavior, and there are medications for that. But and this goes back to being a diabetic. There might be other things that if you forget your pill that morning, then you're in big trouble.
Let's go to JC. JC, good morning. How are you?
Fairly well. Hey, I think this five-hour mental health thing for children is, it kind of reminds me it could be a stepping stone for like a Khmer Rouge type of environment, you know, where the children, you know, re-educated and they actually, you know, take care of, discipline the parents. I think, man, that's, children should be there to learn. You know, the Constitution was written for a ninth grader to be able to understand. Why in 2019 does a lawyer have to go to law school to understand the Constitution?
Now, hold on, I mean, something. Here's that. You said something that just caught my attention. I think it just caught Rogers. That, if I may go around it, that if the kids are showing signs, let's say they're showing true signs of mental illness or areas of, you know, peer pressure or suicidal thing, you bring up an interesting point. Mm-hmm. I would like to go back and what is the household doing and what is contributing to that? JC, is that too far of an outreach to take a look at that?
I mean, I think it should be the parents that would get the clap to do the five-hour class, and then they get credit against the budget. I mean, this is, anytime you talk about a program, it's just more money. And we don't need to just be spending more money. We're spending way too much as it is on education.
Well, what about school safety? Would you support having your taxes increased to have the school safety guys out there to prevent kids being shot up?
I think, you know, with the Second Amendment, right, you should have teachers that have the guns, not other people, and then they get a pay differential for taking a responsibility to have a gun on campus. That would save a lot of money there.
Well, yes or no, but may not if something accidentally goes off with lawsuits. I like to see more cops out front, personally. I mean, I have a problem with a few teachers being armed. But, I mean, it just, I live in the reality world, and the reality world says, I don't mind if it's limited of what, hey, listen, kids, this is we're going to, or just have the principal come and say, this is what we're going to be, you know, looking at, and blah, blah, blah. This is what area assigned to be. Otherwise, ignore all the other things out there.
Well, help me out. First of all, I'd like to know who's teaching it. And by the way, is it 1 hour, 5 hours at one consecutive time? Yeah, I just find the whole idea, it's always, government programs sound great, but actually, how do you implement it? And what do you have to do? It's like, by the way, a background check. You do a background check and everything's okay. The next day, he or she could do something really stupid. Mm-hmm. It would not show up until you do another background check. This is an insane way in which we have come to paranoia in our society.
I think we're probably imagining parts of the curriculum, like kids diagnosing, that probably is not in the curriculum. My only concern with it, I do think it's a good idea, but my only concern is it being hijacked by social leftists to indoctrinate kids to become social leftists themselves.
Well, that's what I said. Who's teaching it?
Yeah.
And what are they saying?
But you know what? Hold on. If we're gonna tell these kids that they got to be aware of mental illness, then maybe we ought to find out why kids maybe aren't sometimes engaging in our curriculum. If we're going to go down this road, to me that would be very important as well. Hey, if kids aren't engaging in the curriculum, if they're not passing, and the teachers can't figure out, maybe a little one-on-one conversation with your buddy after school, you might be able to find out that they're not learning at the house.
Well, that could be a mental issue. It could be attention deficit disorder that they may be struggling with if they can't focus.
Well, how about this? How about that you're not getting the education at the fundamental level, first grade, I mean, all the way to third grade, which is almost all the learning occurs. And by the way, and you have to catch up, and you go to a school being challenged, that you're overwhelmed. And it is a mental issue.
Do you know what? Before I go to break, do you know what I would prescribe this mental illness if this was coming from high school, some students, if they were listening to this radio show, watching C-SPAN or the Jacksonville City Council? I'd be like, are you mentally ill? Because you know why? Kids shouldn't be watching that these days. But, you know, if they come engaged, it's a good thing.
Okay. Right. By the way, I wonder if how many are going to watch at 9 o'clock today to find out what the heck's going on.
With the school test?
Yeah. I just find
there's no way it would be supported because you got to have an education process to take place. 3 months just isn't enough time.
Well, they're now moving it to December, and I'm thinking, wait a second, that's a holiday for not only Christianity but the Jewish facade, and it's just insane. And by the way, question: you don't put it on the ballot in 2019, but would you vote now to put it in November 2020 without having analysis and not actually waiting until September, spring next year.
Roger says you're wasting your time. It's going to pass anyway.
The polling data shows that the 70%, something like that, a UNF poll already supported.
I'm not sure if they're as accurate as you think they are, I can pretty sure that Tim Baker has done this analysis and he's found out two things. Number one is no one wants the appointed positions. And number two is that it might very well pass.
Coming up next, very, 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 I know you've ordered pizza from this company, tells John Morgan, tells all of you, if you go you jack up the minimum wage, we've already got things ready to go, and it will be basically zero employees. Wait till we tell you who that's coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
And a major problem on the Hart Bridge this morning. There's been an accident. A truck has flipped over. Now you'll need to look at either the Matthews or one of the other bridges instead. And if you're at 95 going south at Bath Street, looks like a car may have lost its bumper. It's now in the left lane, blocking traffic.
I served in the United States military for 20 years and 3 days. When I came home, things were being noticed by my wife. She's the one that told me to go get help. I literally started crying the first appointment. I have PTSD with anxiety, so I was introduced into the world of the service dog. Canines for Warriors saves shelter dogs and trains them to be service dogs for veterans. 90% of the dogs from Canines are rescues. Things before I had Hannah were pretty rough. I couldn't walk into a store, into a movie theater. And with Hannah, I have that ability to do that. She's by my side 24/7. It was not just one life that they saved. I believe they saved both of our lives. It allows me to be that husband, to be that father. I feel a part of me is coming back that I used to be before I deployed.
Hey, love you. Love you,
Daddy.
Your monthly donation of $22 or more will save lives now. Become a guard dog and support Canines for Warriors. Lines are open now. Call 1-800-959-1059 and visit www.caninesforwarriors.org.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're MediShare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many MediShare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join MediShare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com, or download the app to try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
We're expecting a 1 in 3 chance of an isolated thunderstorm today. It's going to be hot otherwise with a high of 96. Partly cloudy this evening, a 20% chance of rain tonight, and a low of 78. Right now, it is 79 here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9, Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Jacksonville mayor says school board should be elected and the superintendent position should be elected as well. Despite Amazon being the online giant, a new report says some retailers are building more stores to compete with the company. And presidential Democrats are calling for a major overhaul of the U.S. Supreme Court.
As you know, we played the clips yesterday. John Morgan threw in another $1 million to get the minimum wage hiked up to 10 bucks an hour. We keep talking about this. As we reported here on this radio show and also on floridadaily.com, that the 98% of the jobs in the state of Florida pay more than a minimum wage. 90%. I mean, it's a lot higher. I mean, how many people you know that are not making a minimum wage? So now when you look at the big companies like Costco, Hobby Lobby, with all these without college degrees, Target, Best Buy, all paid above 10 bucks an hour, you think it would disqualify the argument to have a $10 an hour right. minimum wage as the barometer. But Morgan says, no, we want to increase it all the way up to 15 bucks an hour. Listen to this clip. This is from the Fox Business Network. Pizza Hut. I mean, who doesn't like Pizza Hut? I mean, remember after all the Friday night football games, you go and hang out there? Pizza Hut says they're already starting to do this in cities with a minimum wage. They will close and will close more restaurants, instead have digital ordering. This will replace workers if they go and want to jack up the minimum wage.
Pizza Hut is planning to close hundreds of restaurants as it shifts its focus to delivery and fast casual dining. The restaurant's parent company, Yum Brands, sees the move away from dine-in restaurants as a way to drive more sales. Pizza Hut recently tested a digital ordering system that lets customers order and pick up food without talking to a single person.
Now, that's where we're going next, are we not?
Okay, first of all, we have 67 counties in the state of Florida. Maybe five of them can afford 15 bucks an hour. But you're going to Palatka and Hernando County, Jefferson County. No one makes
maybe Palatka, even 10, Palatka County.
Putnam County. I'm sorry.
It's a good one.
I'm sorry. Yeah, very good catch. I know. But my point is, they're not. You bankrupt almost all those companies because they can't afford it and they're just basically shut down.
But, you know, Roger and I
just find it's appalling.
But I think it will pass. And to Morgan's credit, even though I differ with him on this thing, he can come by and say, hey, listen, I'm not one of these big, you know, he's criticized the Democratic Party. You know, it says it's too far left. But he can come in, Roger, you know, we talked about this. He can come in and go, hey, listen, a lot of these guys, and they have here in the state of Florida, Democrats have proposed legislative bills, 15 bucks an hour, and it to be installed within a 1 year later. You can't do that. He can sit back and say, mine is much more business friendly. We're going to adjust it over the next 5 to 6 years so businesses can afford it. I think that sells.
By the way, yes, it sounds great, just like marijuana sounds great. But as I mentioned to you, I had a judge that went up to D.C. They had 5,000 people there from all walks of all government entities that deal with mental health and other things. And not one of them said the marijuana long term is going to be good for you. We believe it is. And by the way, we're asking people to smoke marijuana. We tell people not to smoke cigarettes. I just find this amazing that we have gone so far without knowing any of the medical consequences. And this goes back to the $15. What are the unintended consequences about this thing?
You think grass should be walked on, not smoked, right?
Yeah, I believe that at least it should be played off.
Yeah. The spoof commercial I can make out of that clip.
Wait a second. Morgan, everything he says sounds great. But by the way, he supported Gillum, and now he's appalled by Gillum. And so not everything John Morgan is correct. He's out for money. He's probably one of the wealthiest people in Florida. I think some of his policies are destructive to
commerce. Do you know who are some of the biggest opponents of full-blown marijuana is the medical marijuana crowd, because it's monopoly. If you expand it, you're hurting their business.
Well, this is one of those things about California when they didn't they only had medical marijuana, and everybody flooded to marijuana. But when it became recreational, all those people that were on needed medical marijuana, that sort of went off the list.
We got to take a quick break. 55 minutes after 8 a.m. Talk Radio WBOB.
On the Hart Bridge, a truck has flipped over. Major backup there. Cars are having to use one of the other bridges to get into or out of downtown. And on Butler Boulevard at Gate Parkway, look out for a broken down car there this morning.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
The Trump administration has invoked an old law in hopes of curtailing the wave of illegal immigrants coming to the U.S. Acting Citizenship and Immigration Director Ken Cuccinelli made the announcement. The public charge rules will make it more difficult for immigrants to qualify for welfare programs. Mark Kerkorian, director of the Center for Immigration Studies, said there are hundreds of millions of people who want to move to the United States, and this rule ensures we allow in only those who will be able to pay their own bills. There's a major imbalance between American citizens who receive some form of public assistance and those who are immigrants. We can't continue to admit people with low education and job skills. According to the Census Bureau, in 2014, 63% of households headed by a non-citizen reported they used at least one welfare program, compared to 35% of households headed by citizens. This is a long overdue move, which the open borders crowd is likely to fight in court. The administration is doing the right thing for America. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're MediShare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many MediShare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join MediShare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
This is the Savage Nation.
Talking about Avenatti, I've never seen a lawyer get away with this. As Cohen is being sentenced, this dirty rat gives a press conference saying Trump is next. The legal profession was never developed for people like Avenatti, in my estimation. You think Jerry Nadler is any different than Cohen? They're all cut from the same pickle. You ought to thank God they didn't become judges. In Nadler's case, he went higher than a judge. He became a congressman. Can you imagine that?
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
Hot and humid today. A 1 in 3 chance of rain. We'll have a high of 96 this evening. Partly cloudy and an overnight low of 78. Currently, it is 79 at WBOB.
All right, so it's good to have everybody here. Councilman, former Councilman Schellenberg, good to see you.
Thank you very much, Ed.
And you guys are on the charter review. May I make a recommendation? Before you guys place any vote, you contact me and Roger first, and we'll tell you all how to vote.
Right, in fact, if any check of your audience want to say, right, make a recommendation, let me know.
Check with me.
No, that's Matt dangerous, first. Man. You don't want a lot of recommendations.
Yeah. Not from you or Roger?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I can do that on the air. Okay. All right, hey, good to see you guys. Thankful to God every day for this show. Gets all the credit. Thankful to all of you that tuned in. Tomorrow, I think we're back on with the ripoff of the week. Everybody's back from vacation. Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., Dr. Diana Green, school superintendent of Duval County, will be live in the studios. It'll be fun, entertaining, and enjoyable. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. on Talk Radio WBOB.